Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have a divine plan for our life. I thank you that you're in control and that you have a purpose and a destiny for us. And we don't have to doubt for one second that your plan is good, that your plan is a plan of signs and wonders, that your plan is a plan of redemption for lost souls. Lord, we don't doubt that one moment, because that's why Jesus came, for redemption. So Lord, just anoint the word, seal it in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you were wondering about Mauricio's testimony, let me give you just a quick snippet, because everyone mentioned him and you may not know what they're talking about, right? So he was born an unwanted pregnancy. He was born in Nicaragua, and his mom didn't want a child, so his mom threw him in a, odd house? Oh, outhouse. See, this is so long ago, I don't know what they were called. Outhouse, and that's like the old toilets, right, in the old days. And he was thrown in there. Mother was trying to get rid of him. And the story goes that he landed on a piece of a wood that was laying across, just because God was there. And apparently, the story goes, the mom tried to throw rocks down and trying to make sure the baby didn't survive. Well, the mom didn't know the baby survived, but then some kids were playing in that area, and they heard her crying, and they went, and then they called, you know, authorities, and they came by, and they knew who the mom was. Instead of the mom saying, oh, okay, that's my child, she was mad at the people, the kids that found him. And that's what he had to live. And the story goes like this. He didn't know about that his mom that he grew up with wasn't his real mom until he was 15 years old. Well, that could be pretty tough at 15 years old. And then at that time, the Lord, he grew up in a four-score church in California. I think it was actually Angelus Temple. Somehow his family got over there from Nicaragua to California. And he gave his life to the Lord, but he always had this anger. You know, he was always angry. And then when he found out about his mom, you know, it's just the rage and the anger. Finally, long story short, the Lord just dealt with him about going back to Nicaragua and telling his mom, I forgive you, whether she asked or not. And he was obedient to that. And he thought, as he put it, there was going to be weeping and oh, hugging. And no, it was nothing like that. It wasn't the pleasant experience or the forgiving. You know, it was not what he had planned. But it was still part of God's plan. You know, that happens to us sometimes when we think that if we do what God's asking us to do, all of a sudden everything is going to straighten out. Sometimes it gets worse, right? But it's the process of being obedient to God that what God's looking for. Are you being obedient to God? And today's title, and I got 10 minutes, so I'll get through it, is God has a divine plan for your life. Amen? I like what Letty said. You know, she's going through transition. But that doesn't change the fact that God has a divine plan. It's a good plan, and it'll come into fruition, and you'll get it when it's time to get it. So the main point that I want to make today is this. God has a divine plan for your life, for your family, for the local church. Walk in it and see the hand of God intervene with signs and wonders. You know what divine, the definition of divine is a proceeding directly from God. In other words, something divine, something directly from the Creator, something directly from God. Divine. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, there comes a point in time that Moses dies. Let's read it there really quick. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go to this Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river and river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for the inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. So when Moses died, the people were thinking, what do we do now? Moses is dead. And God says, don't worry, I've got a plan. I got a divine plan. You know that God's plans are not dependent on us, but yet he chooses to use us to execute his divine plan. Think about that for a second. He doesn't really need us. He's God. But he loves us. And because he loves us, he brings us in. He brings us in and he uses us as instruments to execute the divine plan. And what is that plan? If you go from the biggest picture, right, what is God's divine plan for mankind? It's real simple. It's redemption, right? Redemption, because we know that we're all sinners, lost, saved by grace. We all needed redemption. And God's plan doesn't stop if you decide to disobey. When Moses died, it didn't just, oh, well, I guess we're going to stop now. See, God's plan doesn't stop because you choose to go one way or the other. Think about that. But at the same time, he loves us. He wants to use you to be part of this redemption, of the redemption plan. And that's part of love. He wants to use us to be part of it. So God's plans are not dependent. Your first underline there is, God's plans are not dependent on one individual. That's important. That is so important. It's not dependent. Sure, there's pastors in place and God uses them and we follow the lead of the vision, so forth, so forth. But if that leader is gone, it doesn't just end. And if it does, you are following a person. And that's not good. Amen. I'm never going to tell you to follow me because I don't have any answers for you. But I do know who does have the answers, and I can point you there. And it's Jesus is the answer. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And my job is not to help you get all your answers in life. My job is to lead you to go find those answers through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So important. So God's plans are not dependent on one individual. That's why it is so important not to follow, your next underline is follow man. Do not follow man. So if you have your sermon notes on the second underline, the word is follow. Do not follow man, but follow Jesus Christ through the leading of the Holy Spirit, who will lead us into all truth. You know, when Moses died, God's plan, that next underline is plan, for mankind did not die with him. Amen? When Moses died, the plan did not die with him. God's plan for redemption, your next underline there is redemption. God's plan for redemption for mankind continues until this day. Amen. Amen? You and I are redeemed because of what happened with Moses and Joshua and Jesus and Peter and Paul. And in the current times, in this Foursquare organization, we're here today because of Amy Simple McPherson, but she died. And Pastor Corser, who led me to the Lord and brought me to this church, but he's died and gone to be with the Lord. And Pastor Green, who's in Ireland now, and me, I'm pastor, and then the next pastor after me. And it's the plan, the divine plan is never going to die. The plan of redemption will never die. And you have a story. You have the praying grandmother, the praying mother, the praying father. And they were all put in your life. And some of them have gone to be with the Lord. But the plan hasn't stopped. God wants all to come to him and be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The plan hasn't changed. It's a beautiful plan. You are an important part of God's divine plan of redemption. But the plan will go on and on and on. God continues to use flawed people to execute his divine plan of redemption. Aren't you glad he does that? God will continue to use flawed people. You and I are flawed. You and I are not perfect. But because he loves us, those who hear him and are obedient to him, flaws and all, he will use in a miraculous signs and wonders way to execute his divine plan. You believe that? Because it's all over the scripture. I believe it. And there is no exception. There's not one of you like, well, I'll never be anything for God. He can't use me. No. If you pray, obey, and seek God and live for him and you're obedient to his word, you will be used in a powerful, powerful way to redeem people around you. I believe that because that's what the word of God says. He uses flawed people. If he needs to do a sign and a wonder, he'll do it. If we pray and cry out to God for revival, God will hear us. In Joshua 1:8, just that one verse, he says, all of this amazing stuff's going to happen. Be of courage. Go out. Fight the battles. I'm with you. You're going to win every battle. Don't worry. Don't worry. But he says one thing. He gives us one advice or direction or commandment. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. If you want all that to happen, don't let the word of God come out, leave your mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shall have good success. In other words, all of the stuff I'm telling you that's going to happen is dependent on the fact that you are obedient and you follow my instruction. Amen? And Joshua did. But even if Joshua wouldn't, God's divine plan would have been executed one way or the other. One way or the other. He chooses to use us. Right? He can use a donkey. He used a donkey, right, before. He'll do it again, right? The rocks will begin praising him if we don't. But he loves us. Knowing that God has a divine plan for your life, will you walk in it? Would you walk in it? Will you walk in it? It's time for choosing. And we know how the story of Joshua ends. Let's read that in closing. In Joshua 24, they won all these battles. The walls of Jericho came down and all of this stuff started happening. And they got a little bit complacent, right? Everything happened for them. They were in the good land flowing with milk and honey. Everything was working out perfectly, so they kind of started forgetting about God. And Joshua, before he dies, he says this scripture, and he gathers everybody together, and he says, guys, you can't forget your first love. You can't forget who you serve. You can't forget why we got where we got. You can't forget why we're still alive today, right? And it's true for us. Don't forget why you're still alive today. The reason you're still alive today is because of his grace and his mercy. Because the wages of sin is death. And because of his grace and mercy, we still breathe today. That's the truth. That's the gospel. That's what God says. So in the last scripture here in verse Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord. So he's gathered all the people and said, you need to get this right. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods of your fathers, the gods that they served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's time for the church to say, yes, I choose to follow God's divine plan for my life. Do you believe? Amen. Do you believe he's got a divine plan for you? And if you're not walking in it, it's okay. Be patient. Patience is a thing. It's okay. But don't ever stop being in tune with His Spirit, being there, being open and having that relationship with God, asking Him to guide you for the next step and the next step. Because sometimes you can get so busy with life and it's just not time to act, and then things will work out and then it's time to go. Just be ready and available. I hope everyone in this room can see what I see. You know what I see? And I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. I was praying about this last night. I see every one of you being used by God to do extraordinary things. I really do. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready to be used by God in an extraordinary way? The divine plan that God has for you includes signs and wonders. I'm going to repeat that again. The divine plan that God has for you includes signs and wonders. That's one thing that as we started studying this passion series, that just God got a hold of me during one of those topics about being empowered by the Holy Spirit and about prayer, that just this concept of signs and wonders, it needs to come back. And you know what kind of sealed the deal for me? I was here praying with you guys and I was preaching and I asked, how many of you need God to do a sign and a wonder? And every hand was raised. I don't know why I wasn't expecting that, but I wasn't. And when I saw every hand raised, I was like, Lord, here we are, Christians, and the Word of God says that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, that you would move a mountain for us, and everyone needs a mountain moved. Amen. And this concept of signs and wonders, God's just kind of stirring it up in my heart. I don't know how He's going to make it happen or what's going to happen, but I know this, it's time to fast, to pray, and to just get ready for God to move in an extraordinary way in your life. And I'm just talking about the church. I'm talking about you praying for your cousin, you praying for your aunt, you praying for healing outside of these walls, for you just to say, I'm going to get the courage and I'm going to believe and pray for you for signs and wonders. And that's it's not just about the church. It's about we are the laborers. We are the instruments that He's going to use for signs and wonders. And not just the pastors and not just whoever is available to answer the call and be in His divine plan. So I'm going to say it one more time. The divine plan that God has for you includes signs and wonders. Do you believe that? When I say that, can you see yourself praying and a sign and wonder happening? Oh, some of you are like, oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, I believe it. I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. Awesome. But this isn't just for a couple of us. That's the point I'm making. Every single one of us, God has an extraordinary plan that always includes signs and wonders. How do I know? This book is full of one sign and wonder after another, after another, after another. I mean, it's just all over. Even Peter, when the handcuffs just come off, the gates just open, the leper, the lame man walks. Do you really believe? Yeah, the Jericho walls coming down, that was for the Old Testament. The Red Sea, that was for the Old Testament. Well, I'm here to tell you, I've seen signs and wonders. The sign in our front door is a sign and a wonder. Amen. Think about that. I get goosebumps thinking about that. I walk into a businessman wanting to buy a poster for $500, a banner, and I come out with a $13,000 sign that he donated to this church. That's a sign and a wonder. That doesn't, just in the front of our church, it's right there. When you walk out today and you drive out today, look to your left and it's going to say Hope Community Church, Pastor Elias and Alyssa Ozuna. Every one of you are going to be used for signs and wonders if you walk in this divine plan. Not only will you see it, but God will use you to bring forth signs and wonders. It is God's character to miraculously intervene for His people. It is His character to miraculously intervene for his people. Oh man, take that and run, right? Take that with you outside these walls today and run. The divine plan is an awesome plan. It's so important, and I'm going to close it because we're running out of time, but I'm going to close it with this thought. When you start beginning to see signs and wonders, when you start praying and God answers in a miraculous way, here's all you need to remember. Don't take any credit. Don't take any glory. Don't take any credit. You're not holier than anybody else because you prayed and someone got healed. I know it's hard for human beings to comprehend that, because if you prayed and someone got healed, what's human nature going to do? That was my prayer. That was my prayer that did it. Well, as soon as you start doing that, it's, you know, pride comes before the fall, right? Amen. Stay humble, but believe that all things are possible. Believe all things are possible. Believe all things are possible. And don't let any trial bring you crashing down. Believe that all things are possible. One of the things that I'm most proud of, and she's not going to be here to hear it, but maybe she'll hear it on the tape. One of the things I'm most proud about Alyssa in our marriage is the dealing with Daniel, dealing with our prayer, that miraculous miracle that we're believing in. Her dealing with that and not crumbling. It's not easy. But to see her keep growing in faith and not giving up, it's an inspiration to me and to our children. And no matter where you are in your life, there could be things that you've been praying for. Don't doubt. Don't doubt for one moment. God's timing is the best timing. But here's one thing I'm reading about in Scripture as well. You can ask God to change his timing. That's a whole different sermon. And here's the proof, and I'll just end with this thought. Because I'm starting to go, Lord, we can pray for things. We can talk to you about our hearts. You know, there was a prophet I read in the Old Testament that came to a king, and he said, you're going to die because of your disobedience. And the king said, oh, I repent. Lord, please give me more life. And God changed his mind. So give me 15 more years. And of course, he was old by then. He got past the 70, whatever years were promised. I think he was 85 or something like that. But God changed his mind because of repentance. Amen. You know, God's divine plan is so amazing and so big. He can work around certain things in our lives. He can change things around when they need to be changed. It's like, think of it this way. Your child comes to you begging for this toy, and it's not time for you to have that toy. And they're like, show you how responsible they are. They prove to you that they could handle it. And then you're like, as a parent, okay, you proved it. I changed my mind. That's your relationship with God. Keep petitioning. There's that parable where the judge tells the lady, no, I'm not going to answer. And she keeps being persistent. And eventually the judge says, oh, okay, just, I'll, and Jesus uses that to say, the same way you keep petitioning your prayers to God. So I want to encourage you, just keep on believing. Signs and wonders. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have a divine plan for each and every one of us in this place. That you have purposed us for redemption and to lead other people to be redeemed by the blood. And Lord, you're going to do it in amazing ways. You're going to miracles, healings, deliverances, bondages being set free, people being set free from bondages. Lord, we believe that the best is yet to come, that you are a God with a divine plan for each and every one of us. So take us from this place today and take us outside these walls, ready to pray for people, ready to help people, ready to believe in signs and wonders. And when we come back together next Sunday, we'll launch from there, believing All things are possible, believing that you have a plan for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.